Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
All pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air and on the road. We're at Midtown Corner Market, our annual fundraiser for Homes of Hope Charities in Purvis, Mississippi. This year, we're asking folks to bring by canned and other types of food that could be taken out to Homes of Hope. Some gift cards, if you'd like to make sure that some of the kids living out there have a nice gift card for Christmas Day, we would greatly appreciate that. I've already gotten a good collection of food already starting to come in. We're going to be talking about the year-round food drive that Corner Market Food Stores puts on for Homes of Hope as well. And we've got a great show lined up for you today. Excuse me, Noah Crook, assistant basketball coach for the men's team, is going to be joining us here in just a few minutes. Luke Johnson, Hall of Fame football player. Luke Johnson, remember him?
No, I don't remember Luke Johnson. I
remember Dr. Luke Johnson to you.
Okay, I remember that. I remember him.
Dr. Luke Johnson will be joining us. He's going to come around at 2 and hang out with us for a while. So we'll be glad to revisit with Luke. But first, let's take care of a little sports business, basketball. And as I said, Noah Crook will be joining us here in a few minutes to talk about the men's game. Dima, let's talk about the women's game. Women are off to a great start. They handled South Alabama pretty easily last night. And, again, it looks like, to me, a much-improved women's basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, of course, they kind of pulled away there in the end. You know, it was kind of a difficult game for most of the evening. But yeah, no, they got off to a nice start, you know, hit some shots. And I think they're going to be, you know, a force in the – sorry, I'm trying to pull up the stats. My phone was being weird. I think they're going to be a force in the Sun Belt this season. South Alabama, you know, really good team. That's not like a, you know, average Sun Belt team. I think that's going to be one of the top competitions that they're going to face in the Sun Belt. Of course, Southern Miss kind of pulled away there in the second half. You look at the stats, you know, Carly Keats, of course, didn't have her best night, and Southern Miss still won by 19. She only had 5 points. They were really, you know, lifted by the work off the bench by like Ja'Kayla Johnson, who had a career high 20 points for them, and so they're able to shoot the basketball well, almost 50%. And so when you can do that, get steals, and play with cohesion, especially when one of your best players only has 5 points, you're going to win a lot of basketball games. I mean, if you had told me coming into that game that Carly Keats would have had 5 points and they score 84 points, I mean, you feel pretty good about it. So I'm excited to see what they continue to do over the season. And but as we've said, you know, for some reason, Southern Miss teams just play so much better at home, basketball teams. So I'm interested to see what happens when they play on the road. But, of course, they host Louisiana on Saturday, who's winless this season. They're 0-10. So that'll be interesting. Hopefully it's not anything like what the men's game last night, because that was just abysmal, though.
And we've always joked about the only team that has ever had any success against South Alabama in any sport has been women's basketball. That's been the only so as bad as the men's teams have been against South Al, the women have done their part throughout the years in beating South Alabama. So they continue to dominate the Lady Jags.
What's the biggest difference you see in this year's team and in previous women's teams?
They just can shoot the basketball so much better. You know, from their ability to press the basketball, especially on the press and the fast break, and then kick it out for 3-point shots, that's just been what's missing. And they have 3 or 4 girls who can do it. You know, you'd normally have, you know, the Dominique Davises, you know, the one star player, Malia Grayson, the big girl inside, you know, all these things. And But this team, they don't have like a Dominique Davis or like a Malaya Grayson. They have like four different players who can all shoot the basketball, drive the basketball, and really be physical inside the paint. And that's something that was really encouraging to see last night. Kayla Johnson, like I said, she came off the bench. Like, she didn't even start, and she had 20 points. So that's going to be great to see over the next few games.
And the fact that they can shoot the three ball is what's hurting the men's team.
Yeah.
The men's team cannot shoot the three ball and make it. On a consistent basis. And I think even with – we got some bad news with men's basketball that we're going to talk about a little bit later, star player probably being out for the year, is that these teams are going to play zone against the men's team and make them make those three-point shots. And if that's what happens, and now with Tavares being out for the year, which
we don't – that's not confirmed, but it's speculated.
It's going to be a while.
Yes.
Let's just put it that way, if at all. Then they're going to have to go back to the drawing board, and if the three-point shot is included in that, it could be that's bad news for Southern Miss. They just have not been able to make the three-point shot.
We're going to be talking more to one of the coaches here in a few minutes, but really neither men's team looked very good, did they?
Well, yeah. Well, of course, we all knew Louisiana was just terrible. I don't think they've even scored over 65 points this season. You know, they shot just abysmal. Southern Miss just – man, it just they could not buy a basket. And talking with Jay Ladner last night, he was like, man, we were getting the looks. Like, it wasn't like it was contested. Like, we had open shots, and they couldn't even hit those. Shot 33% for the whole game, 33%, 31% from the three-point line. And another thing that was just really bizarre almost, the free-throw shooting wasn't good last night either. I don't have the – official number here, but the free throw shooting, they got to the stripe 39 times and only made 26 of them. So you're leaving out 13 points there. You know, it's just it was not a good night, and it wasn't like that they were like turning the basketball over and just playing sloppy. They legitimately just could not make shots. And when you can't do that, when you're playing a pretty decent game other than making the shots, you're going to lose more than you're going to win.
And I think the old notion that sometimes you play down to your competition. Southern Miss is better, a lot better than they played last night, but Louisiana was not playing well. And then you have the situation with the Louisiana coach getting into the altercation with the officials and people having to be, you know, restrained, you know, from the coach getting any closer to the officials. He got ejected.
Yeah.
It was just it was kind of a mess.
That was a bizarre scene. And my tweet is kind of blown up on Twitter, but, the coach – He went over at that referee, and that referee threw him out. And then, you know, I didn't know what was about to happen. It looked like a physical altercation about to happen on half court. And then they finally kind of corralled him, and he started going to the sideline. Then he had more words to say to, like, the policeman.
Why do I always miss this kind of stuff?
I don't know.
So it was aggravating.
Go look. It's on Twitter. It's blown up on Twitter.
But, you know, if you've ever played sports at a high level or covered it like we have, you know, they'd lost 10 in a row. The Cajuns have lost 10 in a row. Things have not been going their way, and sometimes you just get ticked off. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I mean, if you look at the line, like, I think Southern Miss had, 39 free throw attempts to, like, Louisiana's, like, 8. So, you know, whether or not you agree with that or not, that's a pretty high 39 to 8 or 10 or 12, whatever
you
it was.
You did send me a video of a really monster dunk, as I told you. Reminded me of myself back in the day at high school, when I'd sky up there like that.
Actually,
that was a poster.
That. Didn't that make one of ESPN's top
It
points?
Did. Number 7 on SportsCenter last night from that dunk.
But now water gets a little deeper with the Red Wolves coming in here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So you're really looking at a tale of two cities. You saw how the Eagles did last night with a team that they should have beaten. But now Arkansas State comes in here, and they've been probably, if you look at the overall situation in the league, Arkansas State has probably, and we'll ask Coach Croak when he joins us in a minute, I think Arkansas State has been the most consistent team in the league so far from start to where we are now.
Yeah. Overall, your impressions?
You just hope they can shoot the basketball better. I mean, that was really what was holding them back from last night. It wasn't like they were playing bad basketball. They just couldn't make shots. So,
and
they start making the shots, they're going to be fine.
And other than about one or two games, Tavares has been the leading scorer.
Right.
And now we don't know how long he's going to be out, but it looks like it might be a while.
What did he do? What happened exactly?
Right hand
injury.
He was wearing a cast after the game.
And that's it's going to be a completely different team without him – And the, so we'll see. They're going to have to shuffle.
Well, I will say, Shiante Tramble came off the bench. He looked pretty good last night. You know, 17 points or 11 points, but he played, I think, 30 minutes, which was, I think, the longest he's played all season. So that was encouraging to see. If indeed Tavares is out for an extended period of time, it was nice to see.
But Tramble, you know what the good news was? Conference game, won the conference game.
Yes,
1-0 in the conference, and at the end of the year, that's really all that's going to matter. Who wins the conference? That's all that's going to
matter. Who wins the conference tournament?
Well, yeah, but I mean, winning the regular season conference, too, is
that helps.
Is an accomplishment.
Yeah, because you get, is it a quadruple bye or something like that in the tournament?
Yeah, yeah.
Where, the way it's set up.
Whereas Bob had a quadruple bye pass.
Oh.
Over.
Why do we put up with him? Do you have any idea?
Well, if you would have heard what he said on WDAM in the 90s, you know, you would. You want
to? Why?
No. We don't want to go back there. I know all about some of the things he said on WDAM. Had I said those things, I'd have been fired. Yeah. Well, you were fired. Now that I think about it.
Why do you think? What do you think I'm doing sitting here? You know.
This is where all the WDAM former sports directors who grew faces for radio come, Damon, in case you haven't noticed that.
And bodies for radio, too.
Correct. We should get Mitchell Williams out here. He could just reinforce
that. I saw Mitchell Williams at CVS a couple hours ago. He was about to head to New Orleans for New Orleans Bowl.
Yeah, and you're going to be in New Orleans Tuesday.
Yep.
Bob, you're off next week, so I'm going to have to be here holding down the fort. You got
all right, Noah Crook is an assistant basketball coach with the men's team. We're happy to have him here at Corner Market. Hey, if you're listening to us, please stop by. I'll bring us some canned food for the kids out at Homes of Hope. Bring a gift card if you like. We've got five here on the table already.
Just buy canned goods while
you're
here.
Just buy some canned goods here at Corner Market. Bring them up to it. We'll give you a T-shirt and a big thank you on behalf of the kids at Homes of Hope. All right, Noah Crook, basketball coach. We're going to continue talking basketball from Corner Market in Midtown. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, Super Talk Eagle Hour at Midtown Corner Market, trying to raise food and any gift card donations you would like to make for the kids at Homes of Hope. And, of course, our event every year is sponsored by the Citizens Bank of Philadelphia and Corner Market Food Stores. And we'll be talking to guys from both Chad Hill and Joel Edwards joining us a little later in this hour to talk about the event that we're doing today and their sponsorship of it each and every year. All right, we'll talk basketball again. Noah, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it very much. Assistant basketball coach Noah Crook. And before we get to the game, you did just tell me, and I do want to make mention of this, that you, the team, and everybody just left the funeral of Jay Ladner's dad.
Yes, sir.
So I guess my question would be, how is Coach doing?
I think Coach, the best way that he can handle it is starting to maybe get over the hump and have some closure. We were able to move practice tonight so that he could make it, which is very, very nice for us. So I think he is getting there. I thought he did a heck of a job last night against Lafayette, managing that game when obviously we lose our leading scorer and having to have some guys step up. So, coach is on the right path and we're definitely there for him. But likewise, he's there for us as well.
Correct.
One thing I wanted to mention was I was talking to Jay last night and he said, you know, his dad passed away before the Ole Miss game, which we were talking about off air. And he was like, you know, I mean, it was the night before, right?
It was the day before? Yeah, it was the night before.
Yeah, and so he was sitting there with his mom, and he said, listen, I can't do it. I can't coach. And she said, no, you're going to coach because your dad would have wanted you to. That's what Jay shared with me last night. That just says a lot about Jay's character. And just for him to get out there, I mean, it had to be so hard because that was his best friend.
Definitely. He called me very early that morning. It was 6 or 6:30 in the morning, and he called me and said, Noah, I got a lot of belief in you. I just don't think I can do it. And then called me back and said, I've got to be there. I've got to be there. And I was like, Coach, I think your dad would have. I didn't know him great, obviously, with me being my first year, but I obviously met him. And him being a basketball coach, his father would have wanted that for sure.
Yeah, all right, well, so our sympathies to Coach, for yeah. sure.
So the big headline, as we just talked about, and again, up until there's only been two games where Isaac Tavares has not been the leading scorer. He's out. Looks like he's going to be out for a while. So whatever you're comfortable sharing, Coach Noah Croak, fill in some blanks for us.
Yeah. So he's going to be out for a while with a shooting hand. Luckily, it's non-surgical. So we're going to be out with him for X number of weeks. We're not exactly sure on the time frame, but it's going to be a while. But we have preached. I know the last time I was on here, we preached depth. We preached, hey, we've got 13, 14 guys that can play right now. Well, now it's time to show that, right? So we've cut our rotation some the past few games, but now we've got our leading scorer down, a guy that plays 30, 35 minutes a game. Well, now it's time for that depth to step in. And I think our team is obviously not excited to lose Isaac, but they're excited for opportunity now, and now it's a next man up mentality.
But how does that change the dynamic of this team and the way that you're going to have to operate?
We 100% are going to look a little different in the sense of, it may not be only taking eight to ten three-point attempts a game. Now we're going to have to stretch out and have to make 6, 8, 10 a game. But there is some shooters that are on that bench. We may be a little smaller at the wing spot or the guard spot, playing a guy like Keontae Tramble, Izzy Hart, Brewer Kruth. But all of those guys, of course, they're different from Isaac, but they have strong characteristics and strong values that they can bring to our team as well.
A player like Dylan Brumfield, who – you know, at William Carey was just dropping like 30 points every single night. Now, he hasn't had that production here, but feeling like with Tavares' status, this is a chance for him maybe to get some shots up, maybe a little bit more dynamic on the offensive ball.
It's very ironic that you say that, because right after the game, me and Dylan have a very close relationship, and he looks at me and goes, got to get back to my Carey days now. So he understands that, and him being a 24-year-old senior point guard for us, he understands that, and I think he's another guy that, okay, he's only scoring 4 or 6 a game, but he's capable of going and getting you 10 or 12.
Yeah.
And then we get a guy like Izzy Hart, who's very explosive. Maybe he's coming off the bench, or insert him into the starting lineup. Keontae Trammell steps up. And then we've still got some other guys. We've got an Ole Miss transfer, Robert Coward, who's just starting to finally get healthy from a knee. Falu Jung is a 6'11 shooter. We can maybe create some more shots for him. So it's going to have to be by committee how it has been, but we can't preach depth and then we lose our leading scorer. Well, now it's time for that depth to come in and save us for a few weeks.
With the fact that you guys have not really shot the three ball very well, Coach Croak, would you anticipate other teams throwing this zone at you and say, look, you better start making some threes?
100%. 100%. Arkansas State plays a 2-3 zone. We fully anticipate to see zone tomorrow. That'll be a big part of our prep. But we're going to see zone. That's without a doubt. We've got to execute our stuff. I do think inserting another shooter into the mix should help maybe open it up. You seen last night against Lafayette. They went to a 2-3 zone, and then we started making some shots, and then they went man. And we, of course, most teams like playing against man, but we've got to be able to show that we can make shots against the zone if we don't want to be zoned.
We talk a lot about on this show about the wholesale transfer of teams. I think everybody but two on your squad this year is different. But how difficult is that, and how long does it take to get those guys playing as a team?
It takes a while, and to be honest with you, I don't even know if we're there yet. I think everybody on our team right now, including coaches, will say, we haven't even played our best basketball. I didn't think we gave our best shot at Ole Miss, and we were right there till the end. We definitely didn't give our best shot last night. We have a lot of room for improvement. It's difficult to manage. Everyone's managing it. Maybe not to the extent of having 14 new guys and things like that, but it does take some time. But that's a big part of our job, is getting these guys to learn each other, believe in each other is a big facet, and then also trusting the coaching staff to put them in positions to be successful.
Tyleek Weeks had a nice little poster dunk. What did you see on that play?
Yeah, it's funny. My man doesn't he doesn't dunk much in practice, like if we're going through warm-ups or if we're getting ready to go, but he definitely is an aggressive player. He deserves it. He spends a lot of time working on his game. He spends a lot of time on the scouting reports. Coach Bryce had the Louisiana scout, and he was asking questions, and Tyleek, we call him Bully. Bully answered every single question that Coach Bryce asked, which says a lot about him and his game prep. So he deserves it. He gets to, you know, him being our second leading scorer. Now he shifts to being the main focus, and we'll see if he can fill in some shoes as well.
So if you guys win tomorrow, when you win tomorrow,
when we win,
how does that change the outward expectation of this team, your Eagle team?
Yeah. So we expect to be at the top of the conference. We think that we've got the team to do it. We think that we've got the talent to do it. Arkansas State has a talented group, but we have a talented group as well. So, you know, when we win tomorrow, we're going to put a great product on the floor. We're going to put a great game plan together. But we're just going to chip away one game at a time. It's an 18-game conference schedule. We want to be playing our best basketball in March. Hopefully, like you guys talked about, hopefully we have that two or three or four game bye where we only have to play two games to go national tournament, go to March Madness. So we want to be playing our best basketball then. And if we can do that, and like I said, this team has so much room to grow. So much room to grow from an offensive standpoint to a learning standpoint to a turnover standpoint. So we want to be playing our best basketball late February, early March.
And before I let you go, Noah, my last question, as a native Hoosier, originally from the state of Indiana, can Indiana win the National Football Championship?
Absolutely.
I think they can.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Kurt Cignetti, their head coach, is awesome. Fernando Mendoza is awesome. I think they've got a chance to do something special. They've had some injuries on their O and D line as well. But, again, I go back to his 60-minute interview that Kurt Cignetti just had. He's next-man-up mentality. Sophomore O-lineman, step right in, no problem.
Well, they've already done something pretty special.
No doubt.
They're undefeated. They won the Cup. The most prestigious league maybe in the country.
Oh, I like to hear that.
Yeah.
Huh? I like to hear that the Big Ten's better than the SEC.
And, you know, and here they are playing for the national championship. So win, lose, or draw, it seems to me they've had a pretty special year.
Definitely.
Yeah. And who would have ever thought you'd say that? Indiana football.
Indiana
maybe
football.
Basketball.
Yeah, for sure.
I think this team, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like they flashed what you're talking about playing the best basketball. It's really just about finding how you put it all together.
Yes, and being consistent. Not in the sense even from a scoring standpoint, but who's going to be our 9 or 10 that we know every game going into that 3 weeks from now, whenever we go to Arkansas State, okay, this is our 9 or 10. These are our guys. We know what we're going to get from him. And every game we've got closer to that. But, again, I think there's so much room for improvement for this team. Now, it's going to be a different product than what you've seen through the first 12 games. It is, because we don't have a guy who he's top five in two-point field goal percentage and two-point field goal rate in the country. So now we're going to have to play a little bit different. We're going to have to hit some outside shots, which I'm great with, and I know our staff is. But we've got a lot of belief on these guys. But we're going to need a guy or two or three to step up and really fill the void for the next few weeks.
I love how Tavares is not afraid to go to the hoop. Of course, it's all for naught now that he's benched. But I love the fact that's not a guy that you would expect to hammer to the hole. But, man, there's just no two ways about it. That's where he's going.
He is fearless. He is determined. He's determined to get to the rim. He's not fascinated about shooting threes or even mid-range. He wants to take that thing to the cup, which is very, very nice to have in a player. It really opens things up for others. So we're going to be eager to get him back, but it's a next-man-up mentality, and we've got two or three or four guys that we're really eyeing to step in and fill that void.
Hey, before we run out of time, how do you like these doubleheaders? These are new. We're not used to seeing
it. Yeah, it's different. It's different. I do think it helped the crowd last night. We were pretty pleased with the crowd. We liked it. It kind of maybe takes us back to like a high school or JUCO days where just kind of knock them out at once. But, hey, if that's going to help the crowd, we are all for that.
And he talked about Tavares going to the hoop. I have found, Bob, covering basketball over the years, that when you take a shot from 2 feet away, you tend to make more of those than from 35 feet away.
And
you see why he's on the show?
Yeah,
you see,
so
Coach,
smart.
The insight that this man brings to the
You should
program.
Bring him on as an assistant coach.
No doubt.
Thank you for that, Kelly. Did you know that, Coach?
Right.
I did know that.
Did you?
I learned that some time
so
ago.
He didn't bring any news to you.
No.
Coach, thank you.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, we're glad you are. Thanks for tuning in each and every day to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're broadcasting today from Midtown Corner Market. We're raising food and gift cards for the kids at Homes of Hope in Purvis. And we're asking you to stop by just as that gentleman just did there and dropped off some food. We've got a good start on the food donations today, and we've got a good start on the gift cards, and anything that you can add to the pot would be greatly appreciated by all the kids out at Homes of Hope. I don't know, Joel Edwards is joining us right now. He's the COO of Corner Market, and Chad Hill, who is the Hattiesburg president of the Bank of Philadelphia. Both businesses have been with us since the very start of this deal, and I want to say, Joel, this is the 12th year, and I should have known that for sure.
I think you're right.
It sounds right. So we just want to tell you, both of you guys, how much, number one, we appreciate it. And the Bank of Philadelphia, the Citizens Bank of Philadelphia, you guys don't have to be involved in this every year, but you always step up. What is it about this effort to do good things for the kids at Homes of Hope is important to the bank, Chad?
Yeah, we appreciate getting the opportunity to be involved. You know, that's something we're big on as a bank, is just being plugged into our local communities and finding ways to give back in meaningful ways. And this has been a great opportunity for us to do that for, like you said, 12 years now. So, yeah. Like I said, it's something we look forward to every year and are always happy to be a part of, and glad to see it continue to be a success.
And it's a good feeling because you know through the years that collectively we've all been able to do some things with the biggest help coming from the public that have made these kids happy. And all you got to do is be around some of them
That's right.
A few minutes, and you understand right. The importance. Joel Edwards, not only do you guys raise food year-round, and I do want to talk about that because we want to remind everybody over the next couple of hours that at every corner market throughout the Pine Belt, you'll see a donation box as you exit the store.
That's right.
And all of that food year-round goes to Homes of Hope.
It does, and like you said, it pulls at your heartstrings, and you want to help the kids out, and we always have the box so you can donate year-round. Of course, this event always kicks it off and really helps to drive that. But yeah, you can come in and get food and donate and know that it goes to the Homes for Hope and the kids there.
Now let me tell another little secret about Corner Market. Not only do you do that, you literally allow those kids to come in here once a week and shop as if they're grocery shopping. And everything is on the house.
And they do. They come in, they grab a cart just like any customer would, and get to shop throughout the whole store and get what they need. And we enjoy being able to provide that.
Yeah. How long has Corner Market been tied to Homes of Hope?
Oh, I don't know the exact year. I know it's been at least 15. It could be more than that.
Yeah.
As long as I can remember.
Yeah. And let me mention somebody else. She's not here. We're going to try to talk to her a little later in the program, but Melissa Socher and Keith Socher at Keith Co., huge supporters as well. They've made a major contribution to this year's effort, as they do every year.
They have, yeah. Melissa and the team over at Keith's are great. We sell some of the products that they do, and Melissa brings some of those things into us. But, yes, they're a huge supporter as well.
Yeah. Chad, how is the banking world these years?
Banking world is as interesting as ever. But things are, I think, trending in the right direction for us. And we've had a good 2025, and I think things are shaping up to be good in 26.
Is it true that the Citizens Bank of Philadelphia is such a generous bank you would even entertain a loan application from Kelly Center? No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gotten carried away there, should I, Dima?
He didn't answer yes quick, I'll tell you that.
That's right.
Why has Corner Market been so tight? What has been so important about Homes of Hope for Corner Market?
Just being able to provide for a great organization that's local. We try to pour into the community and support anything local. And, of course, there's locals you can get to where we are.
Yeah.
Again, just happy to provide for kids in need. And we try to support everything local. So we hope that resonates and people understand that we like to give back wherever we can.
I think that's, Kelly talks about it all the time, about, like, that's why you shop local, is because you have businesses like this
100%.
Who invest in local organizations such as Homes of Hope. There's other organizations around, the city as well, and as well as your business as well. It's just, I don't know why. I mean, if you're going to go shopping, come to Corner Market. It's a local business. They're also investing back into the community. You don't have that at the mom-and-pop stores.
We appreciate that. Yeah, we've been serving Hattiesburg and the surrounding areas for over 50 years now.
Is that right?
We were talking about that the other day. It's just, golly, time flies, but we've been here for 50 years. And we wouldn't be here without all the great customers that continue to come in and shop locally and support us. So we hope you come out and get your holiday meal from us and come see us in any of the.
I said this last time we were here. You guys serve the best ice cream. You'll sell the best ice cream. So.
Yeah, we want to apologize about last year when you were so generous and brought. Did you know what happened?
The Jenny's ice cream.
Yeah, you brought that ice cream over. Me and him got one bite, and Sander started licking all the spoons where nobody would eat anything, and then he ate the entire quart. Was it a quart?
I think it was two quarts, actually. It might have been a half gallon.
That's another thing about your store. You guys sell a lot of unique stuff. And
we do.
You proved to me a few years ago, Michael Mergens, who's producing this show, was originally from the Chicago area.
Right.
And he was telling us about genuine Chicago hot dog.
Yep.
And dadgum, if you guys didn't show up at the radio station with every ingredient for the original hot dog.
Well, we can't do it every time, but we try to get anything that anybody needs. So, of course, we hope that that's something that folks will realize, that if you come in and we happen to not have that item, let us know. And we'll do everything in our power to find a source to be able to come get that to your store.
Yeah. Well, I can't really thank you guys enough for all you do. We wouldn't be doing this event year in and year out without your help. And you've all, both of you, have been extraordinarily generous. And I know that, and so, Chad, and I think I explained this to all of y'all, this was the first year we didn't really raise toys.
Right.
And so it's probably not quite as dramatic because there would be toys everywhere. People love to donate toys, but there were no young children at Homes of Hope. But this is just as important, and I think in a way maybe more important. Right?
I agree. Yeah, I think it's at least as important as it always has been, if not more. And you know, like I said, it kind of brings you back to the reason for this season. Kind of keeps you focused on the right things, and like I said, it's an honor to get to be a part of it, and you know, we look forward to doing it for many years to come.
How many branches now at the Citizens Bank of Philadelphia?
So we've got 26 locations across the state. So we're a Mississippi bank. We're headquartered in Philadelphia, Mississippi, but we kind of span the state from Oxford down to the coast. Like I said, 26 locations across the state, and we're proud of that. We're proud to be a Mississippi bank, and here locally, we're awful proud to be here in Hattiesburg as well. So.
And how many corner markets do we have now?
So we have 22.
22, really?
Yes, sir.
So 50, how many banks did you say?
Well, so we have 26 locations.
26.
And 22.
22. So there's a lot of corner markets in the Citizens Banks
there's
of Philadelphia.
Of, that's right.
Yeah, come see us.
Are they all like, this is your anchor store, though, right?
So they're all different sizes. It depends on the community and the size of the store that we need there. But, yeah, this is our largest store. And they range all, this one's 50,000 square feet, and they range down to about 15,000.
So this is really your showcase store here. Yeah, huh?
Flagship, yes, sir.
Right,
yes.
Right. So let me ask you another question that just came to my mind. When do people start bringing dogs to the grocery store?
Dogs, you know, are like people's children. So, you know, they bring them in, and as long as they're on leash and behaving, we're okay with it.
Because it doesn't have to be a service animal.
So yeah. Next time we need to bring... If Kelly comes in, we have to bring him on a leash. Don't forget that.
That might be a good idea. To keep him away from the ice cream. Then. I'd bring my dog down here, but she'd lay down on the floor and go to sleep.
Right,
I mean, that's
right.
Pretty much what she does every day. Well, guys, again, I want to thank you both very much for all you do. You're going to come back and join us a little later.
Yes, sir.
In the program. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up this hour. We've got another good show coming for you next hour. Scott Hanbury is going to join us. Luke Johnson, Hall of Fame football player and now a professor, I believe, at the University of New Orleans.
Dr. Luke Johnson.
So, guys, again, thank you both very much.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for everything you guys do with Super Talk, man. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So, what you going to have some news and notes for us?
Yeah, we're going to do game picks, playoff
game picks.
Yeah,
well,
in the next segment.
I tell you what, why don't you guys Why don't you guys stick around here? Are y'all
all right.
Football experts? And
not experts, but that sounds interesting. So.
I would put a man on Santa, though, if he starts wandering around the store, if I were you, Joel. I
mean,
he's been known to eat snacks and then wander around acting like he's continuing to
come. As soon as I sat down, he took my sweet tea and just popped the lid off and started drinking out of it. And I was like, what are you doing?
All right. We hear the music this time.
Yeah, I heard it.
We're at Corner Market Midtown. We're going to keep Joel and Chad here. We're going to do football picks when we come back. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road, Midtown Corner Market, raising gift cards and food donations for Homes of Hope in Purvis. And this is the time of the year that we do it every year, and it's a really important event and one that we hope you can participate in. We'll be down here till 3 o'clock this afternoon, so you got plenty of time to bring us a gift card or bring some food. And we appreciate the men's basketball team making a food donation on their way out of the door. All right, last segment of the first hour, we're going to do football picks, and we decided to invite Joel and Chad because they told us both that they're experts on
this. Yeah, I don't know how I got into this.
And, so let's go, Dima.
I guess the first question is the Bengals the worst team in the NFL?
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right, let's move on. I'm just kidding. All right, well, tonight's the playoffs start, the first round. Number 9, Alabama, on the road at OU. So let's go around the horn. Who do you think's going to win tonight?
I'm going to take Alabama on this one.
On the road.
Yeah, it's I don't know. My heart says Alabama, but I feel like Oklahoma's going to be tough to beat at home.
If any team got, quote-unquote, messed around, screwed, whatever you want to say, it would be Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma went to Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama, and the reward is you get to play them again. And I don't think they beat them two times in a row. I think Alabama wins again.
My thing is, like, Oklahoma doesn't have an offense. Like, they refuse to move the football. Like, I can't even believe they've won 10 games. Like, their offense is awful. I think this is going to be a real low-scoring game. I just trust Alabama's offense more.
Oklahoma does play defense.
They do. You're right. But if you look at that Alabama game where they won, Alabama had like 430 yards of offense, and Oklahoma had like 190. And Oklahoma somehow won.
Right.
It's crazy. So, but I think Alabama's going to pull that one away. Bob, you said yesterday that JMU's going to beat Oregon. So are you going to stand by that?
No. No, I think Oregon in a track meet.
Yeah, it's hard to pick against Oregon in that game,
Same.
I think it's cool that JMU's in the playoff, but I've compared them all week to like the sacrificial lamb.
Well, the best news about them being in the playoff is Southern Miss gets a chick.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Tulane and Ole Miss. Mm.
This is an easy game for Ole Miss. Ole Miss got the best draw of any team in the playoffs. Ole Miss wins easily.
Yeah, I agree. Ole Miss.
Easily?
I feel like it should be an easy win for him, too.
Yeah, Ole Miss, for sure.
I think it's going to be a very close game. I really do.
Really?
I think there's so much outside noise with Ole Miss. I think they're frauds. I don't think they're good at all.
Go ahead. Are you picking Tulane?
I'm picking Tulane. It's my upset.
That.
All right. It's my upset of the week.
Both you guys hear that?
I don't know if I can get there. I didn't know if I could get there, but it's like – so Tulane – The game they played against Ole Miss, that was when their quarterback got hurt in the first quarter. So I'm kind of throwing away the 45-10. This is a Tulane team that went on the road and beat Northwestern, which is a Big Ten team. They hosted Duke and beat them. So they have shown that they have the ability to beat Power 4 opponents. I think Ole Miss, there's just too much. You know, Ole Miss probably wins, but my heart says pick Tulane because I can't say that the SEC is frauds and then pick all of them to win. So I'm picking Tulane. So Miami on the road at A&M.
I think Texas A&M wins at home.
Yeah, I think Texas beats Miami. I think they're a good bit better than Miami. I think we're going to see that in that game.
A&M for sure.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to pick Miami because
– All right. But,
guess who's the outlier on the program?
But, I mean, to start the season, like the first 4 weeks we all said it was Ohio State and Miami, the two best teams in the country. And then Miami loses to Louisville and everybody's like, yeah, Miami stinks. You know, so I don't think that. They have such tremendously good players on both sides of the ball. Reuben Bain – is a defensive lineman for Miami. I think he might be a top five draft pick. And Texas A&M just have not looked good the past few weeks. They obviously lost to Texas. They should have lost to South Carolina. They were down 34-0 and came back and won. So I don't trust them to win this game. So I got Miami moving on. So
that it?
That's the four games?
That's the four games. All right, gentlemen, we're going to hold you to account.
All
remember,
right.
This gets taped.
Yeah.
And we may come back Monday and play the predictions.
I'm on record saying Tulane's going to beat Ole Miss. So.
Yeah.
And you also picked another odd game. Who was that you picked to win? You went against the group here?
Oh, Miami, beating Texas A&M.
Yeah, Miami. Here's the question, guys. Does JMU really deserve to be in the national playoffs when you're leaving out schools like Notre Dame? Chad, let me put you on the spot.
Ooh, yeah, that's right. Softball questions from you, huh? You know, as much as I love them being there, I think, like I said, obviously Southern Miss benefits from them being there. I think you take the top 12 teams in the country. I don't know that they really should be there if you're looking to crown the national champion and you want the best teams playing for that. I don't know that they should be there, but I do think it's a feel good story, and like I said, I'm happy Southern Miss gets to benefit.
So what do you deem, should JMU and Tulane be in the national playoff?
I think a group of five teams should be in. I don't think two should be in, but a group of five teams should be in because, you know, they deserve some representation. You know, that's the true in all tournaments across NCAA. I think what they should have done is had Tulane and JMU play last week in a play-in game.
Well, that's a good idea.
You know, have the two best group of five teams play in a play-in game and then let Miami and Notre Dame play in a play-in game, you know, because they weren't playing conference championship weekend either. So let these teams on the bubble play in a play-in game. But there's no reason Notre Dame should be at home and you have two group of five teams who are both 20-point underdogs in the first round be in.
Gentlemen, thank you both for being here today. We really do appreciate it. We'll bring you back later in the hour. We'll continue our broadcast from Midtown Corner Market, Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Eagle Hour is on the road today. We're at Midtown Corner Market raising food and gift card donations for Homes of Hope for kids in Purvis. And we've brought the CEO of Homes of Hope on with us, Scott Hanbury. And we're going to try to hook up with Melissa Socher, who's traveling, and one of your biggest supporters. But Mr. Hanbury, thanks very much for coming. We were talking to Joel here from Corner Market. This is our 12th consecutive year to do this. This year a little different in that for the past 11 years we've obviously raised toys, but no toy age children right now at Homes of Hope, right?
That's right. Almost all of our kids are in the teenage years now, and so we shifted our focus a little bit, but we are so incredibly grateful for all that Corner Market means to us and Super Talk.
How many kids at the home right now?
We have 17 on campus right now.
And what are the ages?
11 to 22. We've got some kids that graduate high school, moved into our independent living, and are on the the verge of launching into life as adults.
A couple of things I want people to know about Homes of Hope that may not know. Number one, you get no government support. You know, it's totally local sources or private sources. And it's a religious-based home for children. Describe the kids that are there. Who are the kids that come to Homes of Hope?
Sure. We just say all the time that we serve at-risk children and families. So these are kids that come out of broken situations in homes. They're not there because of behavior or issues of their own, but because of perhaps addiction or incarceration or poverty. We can help a family by stabilizing, by bringing those children onto our campus. And so a lot of the kids have come through CPS. And many of them come just from private referral. An aunt or an uncle or a grandmother see that the family's struggling, and they refer, and we work out something with those parents so that those kids can come and stay with us temporarily.
Well, I know that in my family especially, there's, you know, some of my cousins are involved with Homes of Hope as far as they're the children there. So what you've done for our family has been amazing. And I know my mom's really involved with it, or used to be involved with it as well. So it's an amazing ministry. And
no question.
Yeah.
And I think what's unique about your situation this year, Scott, is I think people generally assume that if the kids are older, they're a little bit more hands-off, don't have any problems like you would with toddlers, and, you know, that you're on them 24. But look, just because kids are a different age doesn't mean that you don't have a different set of problems. And I don't mean bad problems. I'm just talking about maturing problems, driver's licenses, getting them jobs, college education applications, college education testing, etc.
Absolutely. We deal with all of those things. And if you get a gathering of teenagers together of any sort, you know that you're going to have some unique issues. But almost all of our kids come out of traumatic situations, so that's an added layer. We're just constantly dealing with counseling and encouraging them to move past that trauma so that they can refocus. But, yeah, driver's licenses and crushes and football practices and all the different things that those teenage kids go through are a part of our lives.
Scott, I want to bring
crushes up. Is a relationship, Kelly, with
Kelly,
a woman.
In case you wouldn't know.
Just so you know.
Something Kelly's not aware of.
Thanks a lot.
I want to bring somebody on. She's on the phone with us right now, Mr. Hanbury. And I'm guessing you know this name, Melissa Socher.
We know very, very well. The Sochers have been such a blessing to our ministry and an encouragement in our community.
Melissa, can you hear us?
I can. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, let me tell you, and I don't need to tell you this, this is one of the kindest people in Mississippi. They made a generous donation to our effort today, but it's not the first one they've made, is it?
No, not at all. Not at all. They have been supporters for a long time and just a part of the fabric of the ministry that goes on because of their generosity.
Melissa, why are you and your husband so involved and so dedicated to Homes of Hope?
We believe in it, and when you have a passion and a heart for something that is absolutely true and good, we feel like God always shines upon it. So we do our part for the children in our communities, and especially Homes of Hope. They're very dear to us, but we feel like God will always meet you halfway or more than halfway, and He'll just continue to open doors. Our customers and community have been more than giving year-round, and especially at Christmas time for the kids at Homes of Hope. We have little boxes at every one of our checkout counters and all of our Key Superstore across South Mississippi where you can make a monetary donation or a gift card store of your choice. And I'm sure y'all have covered the kids' ages are about 11 to, you know, on up in teenage years. And we have watched those kids grow up, and everyone listening today that has contributed has been a part of their lives, whether they know it or not, and a part of those kids thriving in life, in school, and on to college, and hopefully to be very successful members of our community. So we have those boxes in our stores this Christmas, and, you know, $1.50, or like I said, a gift card, just whatever you can give is wonderful. And I want to make note that I personally give every month. You know, I looked at my finances and saw what little bit I could give every month. And so they take their monthly donation from my account, and it adds up, you know, over a 12-month or, you know, on into, I think I'm going on like 4 or 5 years of giving, and that adds up. And if everybody would just do a little bit, it means so much to those children.
Well, you do a lot, Melissa Sosher. In fact, a couple of years ago, had a little bump in the road. We won't elaborate on that. That's all been straightened out. We had, at the last minute, a number of people kind of pull out on us. Now, Corner Market never did, let me say that, and the Citizens Bank of Philadelphia never did. And Melissa Sosher, that's when I went and talked to her, and she stepped up in a massive way, and she made up, her and Keith, for everything that we lost that year. And I know, Mr. Hanbury, you have nothing but wonderful thoughts about this couple.
Again, just so incredibly overwhelmed with gratitude for all that they have done. And you mentioned we are privately funded, and so it's just the caring of folks like the Sosiers, and those monthly gifts are just the bread and butter. They're the lifeblood of our ministry.
And there's really, you can't sit still, Scott. If you sit still, you're going backwards, essentially.
That's
so
right.
So tell us about the future vision of Homes of Hope and where you hope you're headed.
Sure. We're continually working on our campus and making improvements there. We're working toward some outpatient counseling where we can help families. We can do more training with families, working a lot with CPS, with USM, and with William Carey, bringing students in. And so we just see an expansion of additional cottages added. I mentioned the last time I was on Super Talk, there are 4,200 children in state custody in Mississippi, and we just find that unacceptable. Mm. We want to be a part of reaching as many as we can. Many of them are in foster homes and in placement like ours, but more has to be done, and that's our vision.
Just breaks your heart.
Melissa, what would you like for people to know about Homes of Hope? I know you're traveling. We're not going to keep you on the phone long, but what would you like for people to know?
Sure. So you mentioned that, you know, the hiccup in the road that the home faced a few years back, and I just want to encourage folks to remember that it was not those children's fault, and it is not their fault that they're there as well, and they're there, and they will be there, you know, until they grow up. So nothing changed on that front, and since Scott took over, he has opened so many doors for those kids and different avenues for people to help. And I love the idea of having classes for possible foster parents or people that are thinking about fostering in the future. Hey, you might see myself and my husband Keith on the front row. We've actually tossed that around in the past, and so, you know, Scott's making a way, hopefully, to make it easier and more accessible for folks in Mississippi to consider fostering. And that, again, that is very dear to my heart. But we'll continue to help Homes of Hope, no matter who the director is. The house parents are absolutely wonderful, and we're so grateful for our partners in town and all the small businesses that have contributed. We encourage everybody to do so. Corner Market has been absolutely wonderful from day one, and I always make a point to mention them because they do so much for the home, and that is so consistent.
Right. Well, Melissa, thanks to you and Keith both very much for everything you do, and our relationship with her is just outstanding, and she's part of the Super Talk family. You do know we adopted you a few years ago, right, Melissa?
I feel like I forced my way in. We love y'all just as much, and when everybody comes together and all the small business owners in Mississippi, we can move mountains together. It's incredible.
Merry Christmas to you and your family, Melissa.
Merry Christmas, Bob, and everybody at Super Talk. Have a blessed day.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Scott, where do you possibly put 4,200 kids?
Well, again, they're all over the place. Some are literally in CPS offices or even in hotels until they can get placement. I mean, there are kids in our state that people just don't realize are placed in that kind of circumstance.
You're literally doing God's work.
And we feel it's close to the heart of the Father to take care of widows and orphans.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Scott Hanbury, everybody. Chief Executive Officer of Homes of Hope. Bring us some canned food, gift cards, whatever is in your heart. We'll be right back from Corner Market in Midtown.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Right, I want to thank Scott Hanbury from Homes of Hope for joining us. Melissa Socher as well, one of the finest people that I've ever met. And we just thank them all for their support of our effort here. This is year number 12, as Joel confirmed for me. And this year a little different, of course. We're not collecting toys. We do have some here. But what we're asking for today is canned food and any financial donation that you would like to make. And also, we want to emphasize that Corner Market sets these food containers like the one that people have been dropping food in here today in front of every one of their stores. And so the food drive is something that is year-round. It's not something that just happens once a year. It is something year-round. And Kelly Sander has left for the day. He just sort of, I don't know how you'd describe that shuffle.
He waddled.
There you go. He waddled by us.
It looked like he had stakes in his
hand. Luke Johnson's back on the show again.
My return starts with the verb waddled.
Waddle.
I'm sorry.
Of course, he needs no introduction, and a longtime co-host of the show and a very close friend of all of us.
Including Kelly.
Man, it's good to have you back. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. It's great to be here. This was always an enjoyment for me and all the time I spent with you guys for us to come out, and it was good to see Dr. Hanbury. Thankful for his leadership down the road. And, yeah, good to see you.
How's life in New Orleans, my man?
It's going excellent. It's an honor to be a part of training the next generation of church leaders and pastors and missionaries and, you know, eating good food. Mm-hmm. And we've hired two football coaches since I've been on the show last,
yeah.
Bob. I mean, it's just another 365 days, isn't it?
All right. Now, I can't let this go. You're living in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You were on the Eagle Hour for many, many years. How surprised were you at the announcement that Will Hall had been hired as the head coach of Tulane?
Well, I mean, he came from New Orleans, went back to New Orleans. He's been on that staff. And, yeah, I mean, see what happens. So,
what was it that you think attracted them to hiring Will?
You know, sometimes these days you're thinking about keeping your roster together. You're thinking about staying the same course. And, you know, he was under Fritz. Bye, Kelly. He was under Fritz. And then was under Sumrall.
Yeah.
I mean, Kelly didn't even say bye to me. He just left.
He just left. He grabbed meat and left. I'm just hoping
that's
he paid for it.
That's a crazy sentence.
He did pay for it?
We'll see.
I'm glad to know that he paid.
The star of the Ben Winpigler show is in his place.
Oh, yeah, he put it in a bag.
He took Kelly's spot. Yeah.
But this is you know, how wild it is in New Orleans. The Saints, it looks like the Saints have a quarterback. Pelicans are terrible for, you know, year whatever. And Tulane's in the college football playoff. I mean, you know,
it's a little weird.
We enjoy it. Of course, we miss everything. I am wearing Southern Miss gear.
I'm a little jealous about the hat. I want you to be aware of that. I don't know where you got that, but that's a pretty sharp looking Southern
Miss hat. I wore it for the Troy football game, and I got some people asking me about it, and it's it's a pleasure to be friends with certain people. Yeah.
I can see that. All right.
Dima has lost his mind over here.
Yeah,
if you're coming to join us in Corner Market and you swing by, we got some shirts, by the way, that Bob's giving away.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, give Dima a hug. Something's going on.
Well, let me tell you, last year when we were here, we brought up Jenny's ice cream that they sell here. And they brought us a bunch over here, right,
yeah,
to eat. Dima and I maybe got one bite apiece. Then Kelly started licking everybody's spoons where no one would eat anymore. And he ate all of the Jenny's ice cream. Literally all.
He has a habit of using other people's silverware.
You saw that one time at another remote, didn't you? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, now
some things right. never change. Yeah. No, it's good things. To be back.
All right. Now, Dima, you've got some transfer portal news, and I want to get Luke's thoughts on everything, of course, that's happened here at Southern Miss.
Sorry. Dima's not going to make it through it. Something's happened.
All right. Corey. I get it. Sorry. All right. I got to center myself here. All right. Corey Myrick for Southern Miss plans to enter the transfer portal, and that's kind of probably the first name that we've seen enter the portal since Huff left. I think there's a couple other names that are still on the bubble, but he was kind of one of those players that I'd mentioned earlier on the show.
A Marshall
earlier in the week.
Kid. A Marshall
kid. I think he came from Marshall. I can't remember. But anyways, but he's only here because of Huff, and the question was whether or not these secondary guys are going to stay, because he wasn't a starter, of course, and he was you know, coming off the bench, but he, you know, 80 tackles. And an interception on
valuable
the season.
Player.
So, valuable player.
He was a Marshall guy.
Marshall guy, okay. Yeah. So, and I think Ian Foster is another guy you're going to watch out for. Of course, he came with Huff from Marshall. Jamon Tapple, like I mentioned earlier on the show, that's another name on the bubble. I'm just trying to go through all the bubble names. Of course, Chris Jones. Of course, Michael Montgomery. And those are really your key players to see whether or not they're going to stay or not.
Are we getting any wind at all about Chris Jones? That would be the biggest loss.
I mean, he's a Southern Miss guy, and I really think if he was going to leave, he would have left last year after the Hall debacle and not really knowing about Huff. But so if I feel like if he's not going to leave then, I don't know why he would leave now, but we'll see. I mean, you know, but again, Chris Jones to me is a little bit different because the money isn't as big of a deal to him as it is other players, because he was offered a lot of money to go to an SEC school last year and he decided to stay.
Here's a question though, because of the baller that he is, do you feel like the team's response to, you know, we've heard what Braxton said, you know, when they found out Huff was leaving, we're going to win this football game, you know, all that. Do you feel like though we haven't? There's no wind of it because these dudes are – I know the portal doesn't it opens up later. But I'm saying, don't you feel like these guys are in for this game? And so are you slightly afraid at all of like
an avalanche after the game? Yeah, I mean, that's – well, I expect that. I don't expect these players, most of them, to declare before the bowl game. That's why I was kind of surprised to see Corey Myrick's name. But Blake Anderson was on the show yesterday, and he told us that he has 25 guys outside his office talking to them. So I'm assuming if we're starting to get some names, we'll start to get them kind of like in an avalanche, as you're saying. And attrition is just going to happen.
Avalanche is relative in this time. I mean, you're always going to expect names, but it just depends on key names, crucial names. And if, you know, the way it is, I mean, the way locker rooms go, there's a reason why certain guys stay. I mean, and what I mean is that because of leadership, because of them talking amongst themselves. What made me feel good was we know that Huff was a player guy, and for a team to respond like that, you know, to say, hey, we're all in this game, and like, you know, other programs where we're going to opt out like a champion today. You know what I'm talking about? So Notre Dame, by the way.
Yes.
The fact that a locker room responds that way gives you hope that a locker room will respond in other ways as well.
Sure. I mean, I think for the players on Southern Miss to play in the bowl game is already a testament. But I still think part of that is that Huff is the only coach leaving for the bowl game. You know, so it's not really that big of a difference. I think if, like, Jason Seymour was going to Memphis and these other, you know, coaches were going to Memphis, like, before the bowl game and weren't coaching the bowl game, I think you would have seen, you know, some names come out. But I really think it's because, like, hey, if the coaches are bought in, we're bought in, at least until the bowl game, and then after the bowl game, you might see the avalanche, quote-unquote. I know it's, you know, relative what you're saying, but avalanche.
I ask if you were surprised about Will Hall. Were you surprised that Huff stayed only 1 year?
The slide in November caused me to think that he may be here for year two. Had we made an appearance in the championship game, if we'd got to 8 wins and, you know, in a championship game, I thought there was just no way in the world. I think we were all prepared for that. I mean, even how things have played out with Coach Anderson, I think everybody saw the possibility of that OC hire as you basically lock in two head coaches. I think a lot of people thought that, regardless of whether or not, you know, you're the decision that's made to I'm cool with it. I think it's great. You keep momentum going and all that. But I think a lot of people, even without thinking about a second coaching hire, they saw the offensive coordinator hire as that. And so for it didn't surprise me. I think a lot of people now, what Charles Huff taught Southern Miss, showed Southern Miss how to operate, you know, as a G5 program in this era of college football. And that's probably his greatest contribution.
Sure.
In less than 365 days, he blazed the trail and showed us how to do that.
Yeah. I think it was the amount of jobs that were open to me, like all these jobs were open. There's no way one of these ripple down jobs, such as a Memphis, who obviously he went to Arkansas, one of those jobs. I mean, Huff was such a good candidate. Saban Tree, you know, turned this program around, knew how to work the transfer portal. I mean, that's just all you want in a head coach.
But I was looking at, like, you know, Virginia Tech hired Franklin really quick. I was looking at Maryland. Like, that's the one. And when they retained Maryland, I said, okay, we got a shot. And then you lose three down the stretch, and you say, So, yeah.
Yeah. We asked Blake Anderson about that yesterday. He said he didn't come here. Was no kind of deal cut. In other words, no one said, you'll come here, Charles Huff leaves, you'll be the head coach. But everybody kind of speculated that, right? That he would be the next coach if Huff left.
I mean, you're bringing in a guy that coached at two FBS programs.
Right.
And was an ACC offensive coordinator.
And was successful.
And was the offensive coordinator for the only, you know, for the 12-win Southern Miss 2011 team. Sure.
Hey, man, we're glad you're here with us. You going to stick around?
Yeah, I mean, Dima's full of holiday cheer. I'll stick around.
Yeah, Luke Johnson's with us on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're broadcasting from Corner Market Midtown, and we hope you'll stay with us. Stick around.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Broadcasting a second hour here from Corner Market in Midtown Hattiesburg, raising food and financial donations for Homes of Hope, a great facility for kids down in Purvis, Mississippi. And again, a quick reminder that they have these food boxes, drop-off boxes for food at every Corner Market throughout the Pine Belt. They're not only here today. We pulled one over here with us today, and they've gotten quite a bit of food. They're going to be in every store all year long. So throughout the year, when you buy groceries at Corner Market, you come in to get a pick up a few items, or whether you're buying your weekly groceries, just pick up two or three cans of canned food, drop them in these boxes, and throughout the course of the year, it really makes a really big difference. And we'll hear a little more from Joel Edwards, the COO of Corner Market, here later in the show. But right now we've got our old friend Luke Johnson here with us, and we're going to have a little bit of a debate here, I think. My man,
not about Kelly.
No. Kelly's history now. He's gone.
I hope that comment's history.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that we made that comment. It's because I'm distracted by Ben Windpigler himself sitting at the table.
He's sitting next to me, and I feel the shine.
It's
I have that effect on people.
Yes, it's pretty stunning. It's that beard, I think.
Yeah.
Kind of that Taliban look he's got there. Yeah.
You know, Luke Johnson looks a lot like Matt Patricia. Sitting here right now, that's who he looks
like.
You
know, there is some favoritism there, isn't there?
Matt Patricia.
Yeah. All right, let's debate this. Dema Mixon does not believe.
No. That's not what I said.
Go ahead. Explain for yourself.
The argument is, should we have two Group of Five teams in the playoffs? Not does JMU or Tulane deserve to be in. It's should we have two Group of Five teams in the playoffs.
You don't think so.
I do not think we should have two Group
Luke,
of Five teams.
It's the wrong question, though. What is your argument again? This is the professor in me coming out. So state that again.
I just think that we should – there should be representation, because I think if Southern Miss would have been like 13-0 or something.
There's
like
one noun that you missed that I would come against you with. So you said two Group of Five teams mm-hmm. should not be in the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
My argument is if those two teams are champions, then they should be in the playoff.
No, only one should be in.
Champion, though.
Correct. One should be in.
So you should have P4 teams that aren't champions in,
mm-hmm.
but you should have other teams that are champions that are not in.
Yes.
Okay. But I just want to make – just for clarity out there. Here's the thing. You're going to reward the ACC, who was hot garbage this year, with a 7-5 champion.
No, I don't think Duke should be in. I think the automatic qualifier is the problem with the playoffs.
Okay.
Because it's not just about the Group of Five. It's also with the Power Four. Like, Duke should not be in over JMU. I'm totally agreeing that JMU should be in if we're going by –
But how are you going to measure auto qualifiers, though?
I think we should get rid of them.
But how are you going to measure then who gets in?
The top 12.
With the top 12.
With one group of five.
Mandated.
Yes. 11 at-large teams, one mandated group of five teams.
Here's the situation, though, and I think we were talking about this off air. This year was the perfect storm and benefited the Sun Belt.
Sure.
So you got to understand, like, historically, until the 12-team playoff, my demographic, the group of five or old school mid-major college football player,
mm-hmm.
was the only, not just FBS, widen it out to sports, D1, D2, D3. You can even put it in the NAI. We were the only collegiate athlete that could not compete for a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
When I played the BCS, there was no way
right.
that we were getting in. And then with a 14 playoff, there's no way you're getting in.
Right.
So what I'm saying is the 12-team playoff is now the best way for a Sun Belt team to get in.
Sure.
So I'm not going to argue against the system when it benefits the only way that we could get in.
Yeah.
Because I think we were talking about this off air. The only hope you have is if an 8 or 9 – with your system, an 8 or 9 win American team – and a 10 or 11 or 11 and 12 Sun Belt team, that's the only way you have it.
Well, my system, I would want the American or the top two group of five teams to play each other in a play-in game. That would be my, like, best-case scenario.
I'm cool with a play-in game.
So, like,
if you're
American
play-in
Sun Belt
games,
game and a play-in game, and then the two teams on the bubble, say it was Notre Dame-Miami this year, play each other.
Yeah, I think
– So that would be the best system to me, where you have the best 12 team. Holy cow. The best – My headphones
problem.
Just went
yep.
up into the rafters there.
Oh, that's me playing with the doll. With the
I think that just shot into my heart. My bad. I have no problem. Let me just say that right now. For Southern Miss Twitter, that Sun Belt team should be in. The best group of five teams should be in the playoff. I just don't know how you put both of those teams in over a Notre Dame. I think they should have opportunity playing games, however you want to do it, but I don't know.
But here's the problem.
I just
that.
Don't know if it's
here's the
it
problem
great?
With that. Here's the problem with that. We can only play the games that we're allowed to schedule. So in one swoop, you can't look at a G5 team and say schedule better,
mm-hmm.
because they're bound in that.
Yeah.
The other problem is with P4 teams. If they're so good and they deserve to be in, then they should win more. That's my point.
So, yeah.
Because in one way, you can't say, hey, you're not allowed in our conference because you're less, but we're not even good enough to finish fourth in our conference, and yet we deserve to be in. But you are the best in your conference, but you don't deserve to be in. That's contradictory.
I don't know.
It is. My point is you don't want to argue against a system that gives Southern Miss the best opportunity to get in.
I'm not. I'm not arguing against the system. But
this year was the absolute best-case scenario
right.
for Southern Miss to get in.
But
the
is it ever – I mean, I don't know if – this season will ever happen again. So, in my argument, the best way for Southern Miss to get in is in a play-in game.
So let me nuance that. I am totally for play-in games. The question is, with a group of five, when's it going to happen? Because you want to have this is, and I think we would agree on this, for the SEC, the Big Ten, you should not get rewarded for not playing in your conference championship
Correct.
Game and have a week off. So the play-in games technically have to occur the week of the championship games.
Right.
So where would you do a play-in game for the group of five teams?
You'd have to do it like this last weekend when everybody was off.
Do away with the conference championship.
Yeah, you're essentially forcing the group of five to play an extra game to get in the college football playoff.
Sure.
Which I don't think is appropriate.
So
well,
here's a thought, a hypothetical.
I don't know. Are they going to win five games in a row to win the national title?
Now you're forcing them to win five or six. That's what I'm saying is you're still
the five games
with a play-in game for a G5. You're still forcing them at a disadvantage while imposing a system on them that already gives them a disadvantage.
So let me interrupt both of you. It was just this week that former Alabama coach Nick Saban said it's time to have a Power Four national playoff and a Group of Five national playoff.
I don't know how you can look at kids in the face and say you're less than the Power Five. I mean,
I love you, but that's what you're doing with the system you're proposing.
No, I'm not. I think they should have every right to get in.
If you're giving them extra hurdles to get in,
there's not an extra hurdle. They're just playing an extra game.
You're playing an extra game.
But that is the playoffs. Right. That is the playoffs, though.
But let's go back to my question.
It isn't like this made-up game. That would be a playoff play-in game.
But you're playing one more game than the rest of the field, with a play-in game.
Right. That doesn't – I mean, okay, sorry.
So should they be divided, Luke, playoffs?
No, I don't think so.
You would have been insulted as a college football player to be told you need to play in the group.
Put it this way. When I played – the college football playoff was Memphis. If we ended up in the Liberty Bowl, we had done everything that we could have. Like, I mean, I'm not being rude or whatever, but everybody that played with me knew that we couldn't win the national championship. Mm-hmm. We could win the conference, and we can end up in the Liberty Bowl. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of it. You know, even the closest that we were was when we lost when Southern Miss lost to UAB in 2011. They would have probably been in the BCS Bowl.
Correct.
They still wouldn't have competed for the national championship.
Correct.
It's a good banner,
right?
No, it's a fascinating discussion because they're gonna do something to screw out the Group of Five. I just know they will, and I just think that's wrong. So I'm trying to make it where they got to have representation. I do not think we should split.
Here's
off.
Something
that's a
else.
Terrible idea.
Here's something else. There should be absolutely zero, and this is an argument you can't make because of TV revenue. There should be absolutely zero preseason rankings until week six.
Oh, I'm totally
for this reason. Everything's correlated, and so if you're out of it, mm-hmm. you don't have time to make up the difference, and therefore get ranked at the end of the year.
Sure.
We can all agree that the system is not where it needs to be right now. Is that correct? College football is.
It's never been.
Yeah.
But that's just part of it.
Yeah.
It's part of it.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not going to sit here and bemoan. It's like you embrace it. I'm just simply saying I want the best case possible for my team to be able to do what I was never able to do, and that's compete for a national championship.
And the system right now is that. And I agree with you there. I just think that maybe do a play-in game. I don't know. Who knows?
Who do you like in the playoffs, Luke Johnson?
I mean, I think probably going in, you probably have to tip your cap to Georgia just because of how they're built. But it will be interesting to see if Ohio State and Indiana, you know, whether there was a Big Ten mirage all year when their two teams played. I mean, you see, you know, Ohio State beat Texas early on. I think probably Georgia. It'll be interesting to see what Indiana does.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Tell you what, I mean, he said it, Cignetti, who's former Sun Belt coach.
Sure.
All he does is win, and he's done that for 2 years.
I would say watch out for Oregon. They're not talked about a lot.
Yeah.
11-1, only lost to Indiana. They're going to get some players back. Watch out for Oregon.
We'll be back.
That doesn't mean that I was cheering for the SEC.
I know you well enough to know you weren't doing that. We'll be right back. Quarter Market Midtown.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We continue to broadcast here at Midtown Corner Market, the 2025 Homes of Hope. This year, food drive, and we thank everybody that's made generous donations throughout the last couple of weeks and leading up to the day. And asked Joel Edwards to come back, CEO, Chief Operating Officer of Corner Market Food Stores. And Joel, I want to go back again to the fact that you don't just try to raise food for these kids one time a year. Again, talk to people about how you set up these donation boxes, where they can find them, and how they can donate throughout the year.
Yeah, we accept food anytime that they want to come and donate, and you know, we've got plenty of product out there, and they'll take anything at all. So we accept it year-round. Again, this kind of kicks it off and gets a good bump there, but anytime anybody wants to donate food to Homes for Hope, we'll gladly accept that.
Now, is that in the just in the Hattiesburg area?
Yeah, mostly in the Hattiesburg area, yes, sir.
I see. Mm-hmm. Do you get a pretty good continuous donation throughout the year?
I can't say enough about our customers. They're so generous and great, and it's a constant flow of product for the kids out there at Homes of Hope.
And you said you had some personal contact with Homes of Hope, your family.
Yeah, some of my my cousins and stuff have been through that. Through that organization, just with some family issues with that side of the family, but they've turned out just incredible kids, and it's such a great organization. It's just amazing, and like he said on the earlier segment, what do you say, 4,300 kids or something like that, don't have a place, and it's heartbreaking, and especially with everything that's so great about Christmas, giving is the theme, giving, and if we can't give a little bit to that, what are we doing?
I agree. Luke, you're very familiar with all the great work that Corner Market has done for Homes of Hope yourself. You've been a part of many of these drives, and I know it's got a special place in your heart as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's the spirit of Christmas. It is giving. Christ himself said that, on that day, many will say, Lord, when did we see you? When did we take care of you? When did we give you food? When did we get you drink? And he said, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. And so I'm honored. I was always honored to promote this, and just thankful for all the ministry that's going on.
Christmas, special time of the year. Your thoughts about that, my man?
Yeah, one of my favorite, you told me earlier you want me to say a few comments. My favorite Christmas hymn, Charles Wesley wrote it, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And that's an old, hark, what does that mean? And the lyric is saying, listen, pay attention to what is being sung by the angels. And later on in verse 2 and verse 3, it says, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hell incarnate deity, mild he lays his glory by, born that men no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. And so Christmas for me is the story of God becoming flesh. It's what's happening when we see a nativity and we see shepherds and we see angels. It is an announcement of the greatest event of all time, God taking on human form in order to give himself in our place for our sin. And so it's amazing. We think about humility. We think about servanthood. We talk about, guys after football games spend time with kids, and, we used to give our gloves and, sign stuff. I mean, all of that is a pale echo to the second person of the Trinity coming down and being born as a baby to redeem us. And so all of what we're doing today, setting out boxes, giving to kids, looking out for that, it's all encompassed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I love this time of year because it puts on display how we should live our lives because of what he's done.
And these folks, like this gentleman sitting right here at Corner Market, they have that in their heart year-round, don't they?
I mean, thank you, Joel, very much for partnering for us to take care of kids who wouldn't be taken care of otherwise.
And the thanks goes right back to you guys. We look forward to this every year and look forward to many more years to come. So
I've told other people this, and you see it when they're down here. It's hard not to be moved when you're around these children.
It'll move you like nothing else. To see them come in and grab that cart and go shop and get whatever they need, and we do that on a weekly basis as well. It really will move you.
You said that about Christmas carols. I'm going to tell you a Christmas carol I discovered a few years ago that I have fallen in love with, and it's called Did You Know?
Yeah, Mary, Did You Know?
Man, that is, I think, the most beautiful Christmas song ever.
In Luke, it says, kind of towards the end of his birth narrative, it says Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. And I think what that means is she was blown away by, wow, I get to be part of what God's doing, for here and all time. And one thing that Mary did know also in the Magnificat in Luke 1, she says, God has looked upon my lowly estate. He's allowed me to take part in this. But it says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mary knew that she even needed what her son was coming to do. Mm-hmm. He was coming to die for all sin, including hers. And I think what that speaks of when she's praising God and some of what you're talking about, that song, is she was blown away by God's work, you know, and his love for us as exemplified the Christmas story.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Joel, we just can't thank you enough for what you do, and Luke summed it up really well. You guys do so much for these kids. You're a good man. The ownership of this company is a wonderful family, and it is, as Luke said, it is a real honor to do this with you and Corner Market every year.
Well, it's an honor for us as well.
Merry Christmas to you.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you guys and everybody out there listening. Come see us at Corner Market. Thanks again. We're looking forward to next year already.
Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll be back on Monday. The guys will have the show next week. I'm going to be out for a few days.
Merry Christmas, Bob.
Thank you, my buddy. Good to see you as always.
All
right. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Supertalk Mississippi Media Production.